Their deluded minds hatch the very plans which God will use in the end times for the salvation of millions of souls. God will have the last laugh, and as he wipes the tears from our eyes, we will rejoice with him. Tribulation must come for a little while. Our Redeemer will win the victory, though it might seem we are losing a few battles. Give your anxiety and fear to him as these plans unfold. Trust him. We will now see some of the plans for establishing a world religion. A counterfeit Christ is ready to emerge out of the Catholic, Protestant, and mystic religions.
Tell us a bit about this large, very large ranch in southern Colorado. Who's the owner? What's the connection with what you learned at this Congress? And
all right. There's a real interesting fellow that sat to the right of Michael Sweetman at the World Conservation Bank office, and his name is Maurice Strong, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, Maurice Strong. And he and his wife, Hannah Strong, own the Baca. It was an old Spanish land-grant ranch in Crestone, Colorado, down in the San Luis Valley. On one side of the ranch, to the west, to the east, it's on the western slope, to the east of the ranch are the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, the Blood of Christ Mountains. And to the northwest of the ranch are the San Juan, the St. John Mountains. And water flows from these mountains into the San Luis Valley, and there are great underground streams that feed the Rio Grande River and the Arkansas River and all of these. It's the headlands of waters. So they have a 160,000-acre ranch. Some folks have said 130,000 acres. And this ranch is on... it's right on the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And in this ranch are world spiritual ashrams from India, England. The Catholics have a monastery there. The Episcopal Church, of which I am a member, has a representative there called Lindisfarne, which it turns out is probably the Protestant representative of bringing Catholic, Protestant, and spiritual religions together at this ranch. Because on this ranch is a temple that was built by the Lindisfarne fellows in conformance with Babylonic numerology systems. Lots of sixes are in there. There are 72 seats, for instance, 6 times 6 times 2, where the leaders of the world religions sit around in a rosy cross. If you look down at it, the middle of the Holy Grail is in the middle of the temple, and surrounding the Holy Grail is a Rosicrucian Babylonic system seating arrangement, where they are going to incantate during the sexual union of God the Father and Mother Earth. I happened to talk to the priest there, Father Victor, last week. I said, "What is your mission here on the Baca with this monastery? Doesn't it give you a feeling of insecurity to know that there's a temple up there that's going to commune God with Mother Earth, and you have all these Eastern religions around?" And he said, "No." He said, "We just sit here in this monastery and contemplate, and we're not concerned about that." I said, "Well, what do you contemplate on?" And he said, "We contemplate on the sexual union of the church with God." I said, "Wait a minute. Say that again." He said, "We contemplate on the sexuality of the church as it's expressed in the Song of Songs." I said, "Well, I'll admit that it is a real love poem of Christ for the church, but why the sexual union and so on?" He said, "That's our mission." He said, "Because we're fulfilling a role that the Pope wants us to fulfill." He said, "I don't know. We're just contemplating on the sexual union of the church with God." I said, "Could it have anything to do with the Lindisfarne Temple that's been built there by the Episcopal Church, by the Protestant sector, where they're going to have a so-called sexual union of God with Mother Earth? And are the Catholics providing contemplation into the sexual union?" He said, "I don't know anything about that." I said, "You've been here for a year and a half, and you don't know what's going on in this place here?" And he professed ignorance about it. Well, if you just read the papers, he'd see that marks are being put on people's forehead with the ashes from ancient fire ceremonies at the Baca. There's going to be a Mother Earth worship system that's then going to be connected with ecological and environmental laws. William Ruckelshaus, the president, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, here he is shown in an official photograph from the Congress. Here's the Fourth World Wilderness flag behind him. There's William Ruckelshaus, the head of the EPA, and there's David Rockefeller, the head of the Chase Manhattan Bank. He was called at the Congress Mr. Environment. He's vice president of Weyerhaeuser Lumber, and suddenly he's a Mr. Environment. That's one of the funny things you see happen in the world system. And then here's Mr. Development, David Rockefeller, and these two people are having a great struggle with one another. He wants to protect the environment, and he wants to go for growth and development. It's an equation that was presented at the Congress. Conservation versus growth and development. We have to equate these. So, William Ruckelshaus is down as a fellow shareholder in American Water Development Incorporated, that he and Maurice Strong, the head of BACA, have a corporation where they want to suck the aquifers dry, the aquifers getting their water from the Blood of Christ Mountains and the San Juan Mountains down there. There's a lot of water under the San Luis Valley, millions and millions of acre feet of water. An acre foot is the size of a football field, 1 foot high of water. And they want to pull 200,000 acre feet for openers out of the BACA. Well, here's Mr. Environment. And I did a survey of the people down in the San Luis Valley. And I sent letters out to these farmers last December. And I said, what will happen if Maurice Strong and William Ruckelshaus and others pull water, 200,000 acre feet of water out of the San Luis Valley? Without one hesitation, it was unanimous that their land will turn into a wasteland. It'll turn into a desert. So here we have people at an environment congress that are then waltzing 200 miles south of Estes Park down in the San Luis Valley of Colorado that want to suck the aquifers dry and turn it into a desert. The hypocrisy is so deep. We are going to come under a satanic world government. And don't worry about it, because I found out that God will provide what we can't provide for ourselves.
If we're on His side.
If we're on His side.
That's right.
We've already been given the marching orders for the tribulation period. It's called the New Testament. Paul went through it. He went through New Age back there in Rome. The Temple of Osiris and the Temple of Diana, the Ephesians, and so on. And he knows, he's told us that if we keep trusting God, God will take us through the tribulation. Not that we won't be killed or tortured or what have you, but it will be in God's timing. So I'm trusting that God will see us through the tribulation, and I choose not to get into fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
As a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I'm reminded of a statement from the pen of one Ellen G. White. It was penned at least 100 years ago. She was commenting upon Revelation chapter 13 and the subject of the mark of the beast. She said at that time, not all is understood yet with regards to the mark of the beast, nor will it be understood until the scroll unrolls. That is, until the very events foretold in the prophecies begin to take place. Until the stage of history is set, until the men and powers and organizations and people come into place, until the actors are on the stage. Then, she said, these things will be better understood. Then it is that the people of God will be brought to decision, to a test. Now, the same book of Revelation in the third chapter warns us that there is an hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. All the world. The same admonishment contains a promise that God will keep those who are faithful. Those who are obedient, those who have their confidence and their faith secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised, I will keep you in the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world.
He is a viscount, count from France, who's in charge of the world religion broadcast for the world. In our conversation, he said, you people in America will know what the meaning of duty and sacrifice and service and discipline are. He said, you will work and know God through your discipline and duty and sacrifice. He said, you people in America are soft. You worry about your rights, rights, rights. He said, you will see what it is like not to have rights very soon. He said, you will meet God. And I said, what is God's name? He said, God, he is a mathematical formula. He is what I call the great ism. And he said, your dog, the table, you, me, we're all the same in this great ism. And he said, you will meet the great ism in your duty and your sacrifice. And he said, and then you will know God. And I said, you mean like, eins, zwei, drei, vier? And I made a Nazi salute and a goose step, and he smiled knowingly, and as if to say, you got it, mister. We're going to be under a totalitarian, cruel regime here in the United States. And we will know what duty and service and discipline and lack of rights are. Most, if not all, religions and visionaries look to the time of the end. The Hopi Indians call it the Great Purification. Christians call it the Great Tribulation. Without Jesus, no person can stand through it all. So what good will it do us to worry and fret? Watch for Him. Trust Him. Cast all your cares on Jesus Christ. Read the Bible as the Holy Spirit leads you. I learned of Jesus Christ from the New Age, from Yogi Satchidananda, back in 1970. In the early 70s, Sri Swami Satchidananda had an ashram here in Boulder, Colorado. He used the Word of God to try to steer us into His own path. Just say Om to bring God into the present, I remember him saying. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just say Om, and God is there, he said. What he failed to mention was John 1:14 in the same chapter of John 1:1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He also claimed that Jesus Christ was just an avatar like everybody else. I said to myself, why does he protest so much? One day I said the generic prayer. I was confused but wanted to know the truth. I recommend this prayer to all non-believers who may be watching this video. God, if you exist, would you please show me the path that I should go? I added, is the path Yogi Satchidananda, Yogi Bhajan, Mayur Baba, Krishna, Gaskin, Jesus Christ, will the real person please come into my life? A few days later, a little old woman who I had never met stepped up to me and said, I have been expecting you. I was surprised. I said, well, what's this all about? And she said, you are searching for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am to tell you what the Holy Spirit leads me to say and turn you back to the Holy Spirit. She had been praying in tongues, as she said, with a group of fellow believers. An aura settled around her, and her tongues were interpreted that a person who was seeking the Lord Jesus Christ was to come into her life in a few days. She was to tell that person about the Lord Jesus Christ as the words came to her, and then turn the person back to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You, she said, are that person. I can't remember what she said, but it burned like fire into my heart. Simultaneously, other supernatural coincidences were happening to me, and I finally knew that Jesus Christ was my path to follow. That was on February 14, 1971, and my wife Betsy accepted him through Don Ferguson of Boulder, Colorado, at the same time. He was our Bible reading next door neighbor. I believe that many in the New Age will come to the Lord Jesus Christ before the time of the Gentiles, so to speak, closes in God's preordained history. Be ye separate from New Age. Our separateness will become like a light in the darkness to them. I believe that their lives will become hell as the persecution of the church increases in tempo. We will learn love from our Lord, and they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. I will now end this video with various tapes from the Congress. Study your documentation manual. Read my licensing agreement in the manual and send it to me for my permission for you to take this videotape to others. Your financial support is always appreciated, and I thank you for that. Here is my address if you need to contact me or make suggestions or need more information. This is an informational message from the Lord, and I am His messenger.
I take personal responsibility for the presentation of its contents. Goodbye, shalom, see you in the next life, if not sooner. This video will now end by playing the official tape of the Fourth World Wilderness Congress. In particular, you will hear the voice of Canadian Maurice Strong, the voice of Michael Sweetman, the World Conservation Bank President, and the voice of England's Edmund de Rothschild. Listen to what de Rothschild says about manufacturing dry ice machines and creating alternatives to dams. Ask yourself, too, how can a person harness love, as Rothschild seems to propose to want to do? What does that really mean? If God is love, is de Rothschild suggesting that he harness God?
And I think we're going to have some really a very interesting time over the next 3 days. But not just an interesting time. I hope we're going to have a very productive time over the next 3 days. And we're going to come out by tomorrow night, at any rate, with a resolution, which we have to hand to the Resolutions Committee, if we want a resolution about the World Conservation Bank in the Congress proceedings. And I trust that we do. So we've got to think about that as well. I suggest what we might do is to cover that at the end of these two sessions this afternoon. And maybe some of you might stay back and we could discuss how we proceed with that. So let's get the proceedings running now and we will see how we go. Thank you. Mr. Maurice Strong, who most of you already know.
Thank you very much. And you've already heard perhaps too much from me. So I think we're reaching the point at which we want to involve you, all of you, in the next step of this conference, which is really to come to grips with some of the principal action-oriented issues. And one of the most important initiatives that is open here for your consideration is that of the Conservation Banking Program. As we mentioned this morning, we have as our chairman, fortunately, the person who really is the source of this very significant concept. He is one of the trustees of the International Wilderness Foundation, which sponsored this meeting. He was at the first of these congresses. So his conversion to the relationship between conservation and economic development has been a pioneering one. His work on many dams. I used to be in the hydroelectric power part of the energy business myself. Many of the energy developments we've seen have come from his early anticipation of our energy needs and his early work in supporting pioneering initiatives to deal with these needs. So there is no better person. He epitomizes in his own life that positive synthesis between environment, conservation on the one hand and economics on the other. And I'm just delighted to have this opportunity of introducing to you Edmund de Rothschild.
Maurice, thank you very much indeed for all that you've said, and I would ask the audience to take with a slight grain of salt all that he has said about me. And I want to start there a little bit of my talk to you on a somewhat different vein. You see, in order to further the ideals of the world wilderness concept, and to prevent the concept and this concept just to remain an ideal, it is of paramount importance to find ways and means of finding and promoting its rationale. There are these ways and means of putting this concept into effect and overcoming or minimizing some of the problems set out by the speakers in this Congress, such as pollution, prevention of acid rain, waste disposal. There are alternative methods and harmless alternative methods for energy, and they're available. Alternative uses of water resources not involving vast inundations of land or displacing humans and its indigent wildlife, harnessing wave energy, solar energy, wind power, just to mention a few. To overcome the chilling, doom-laden prognostications of Dr. Irving Mintzer's greenhouse effect, perhaps it could be possible to utilize CO2, carbon dioxide, one of its main causes, to manufacture dry ice to maintain the polar caps and the actual temperature of the ice there and maintain their present temperature. Innovative and modern technology, world waste material, collected and perhaps burnt in volcanic areas or buried so deep in the earth, in the wilderness desert areas of the mid-Sahara where nobody goes, or in the empty quarter in Arabia or the Gobi Desert. But all these ideas and visions, some far-fetched, and above all, the continuation of this Congress needs money. A start has been made by the thoughts and care of one man, Michael Sweetman. His ideas have had lip service paid to them by some of our speakers here during the Denver conference. The meetings now of the new concept of an international conservation banking program involves all sectors of the human community, governmental and intergovernmental agencies, the public and private agencies, large charitable foundations, as well as ordinary individuals worldwide. Michael Sweetman has written the foreword to this concept. Its final form will no doubt be altered, watered down, or widened. But this convention must put forward this charter. And with the collective wisdom available here today, the charter can be enhanced, embracing those who have given their thoughts in the Denver Public Forum. By thinking forward as to how to reach out to the public at large, to every corporate entity throughout the world, to put aside, hopefully tax-free, a part of their profits to fund our ecological and environmental protection. Ladies and gentlemen, every country has its own problems, its indigenous peoples, and its wildlife. This international conservation bank must know no frontiers, no boundaries. Its funds must be used constructively and not to be challenged into greedy hands or weapons of destruction. I hesitate to link this bank with world wilderness, but I would like to link it with our survival as a human race. This, our generation, must not be cursed by our descendants, if we have any, as to the greatest destructors and squanderers of the world's resources. That great philosopher and cleric, Teilhard de Chardin, wrote, and I quote, "Man can harness the winds, the waves, and the tides. But when he can harness the energy of love, then for the second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire." Michael Sweetman. Michael Sweetman, your love for the world wilderness concept has given you the necessary fire in your belly to produce the germ of the future needs of this concept. And I have great pleasure in asking you to put it forward.